So I got sent to Iran.
How many years did you do there in Iran?
7 years.
7 years.
They sent me up to Mashhad, where we had built the pipeline from Tehran to Mashhad, up in the Russian-Afghan border. We had built the tank farm. I just got oriented there, and then we got another contract to do a U.S. military contract in a place called Guchan, which is right on the Russian-Azerbaijan border. So I went up there, and this was another learning experience because I didn't know anything about civil construction. I'd learned a lot about engineering and equipment, but building barracks up to military standards was not something I knew anything about, but I had good foremen, so I was up there for about a year.
Who was your boss then when you were working there building buildings?
Well, my boss was in Tehran, a fellow named Harry Hamra, who was from Bristow, Oklahoma. He's a good old boy. I kept calling him on the radio at 5 o'clock in the morning saying, when are you going to send a superintendent up here? Finally, one day, Harry said, we've got one. I said, how soon can you get him there? He said, he's already there. I said, well, I don't know him. He said, it's you. I said, I don't know anything about building these kinds of things. He said, well, you get out your engineering manual. And he said, you've got three good master sergeant types, carpenter foreman, concrete foreman. You just put them to work in the right places, and they will teach you what you have to learn. And that was right. It was like being back in the Army with those platoon leaders, because they were the same type of people. They were absolutely wonderful and took good care of me. I migrated eventually and moved into Tehran, and 4 or 5 years later, I replaced Harry Hamra, and they moved him to Oman to build a big pipeline in Oman. We had three big projects going in Iran, and so I took over there.
Let's talk about the political climate in Iran at the time. Again, you had your wife and three children there, so they attended school, and
yes.
They learned to speak Persian.
Yes. I learned to speak Persian pretty well, but not as well as the kids. We put our kids in the British school because I worked for Wilbrow's UK Limited, so I had access to the British school. Not only would the kids learn English the right way, but they had a requirement that 50% of the students had to be Persian, and we wanted our kids to go to school with Persian kids and not just be expatriates. My wife then started teaching English in the same school. We lived in this village 7 kilometers out of Tehran. Not an expatriate. It was all local. Everybody couldn't have been nicer. We had both learned to speak the language, and we had quite an interesting and enjoyable experience, even though it was really, really hard work, because we worked 7-12s, 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, plus transportation.
There was a revolution going on in Iran at that time.
Yes.
The White Revolution. The Shah of Iran was eventually overthrown, went into exile in Paris.
Well, he wasn't overthrown until later.
Right.
The Shah was still very much in power when I was there. Some of the major things that happened were earthquakes. There were several terrible earthquakes that just devastated a number of villages. So we took our heavy equipment and went down at the request of the U.S. Embassy and the British Embassy to rebuild a lot of these places. Then we got a couple of contracts from the U.S. military, which my bosses didn't like the idea of. They said, working for the Army is really difficult. They have so many rules that don't have anything to do with getting the job done, but it's the Army way. I said, yeah, but I have commissary privileges. I have all sorts of other privileges working for an American company, import abilities and all that. So I think we ought to take these jobs. So we did another barracks type of thing. The most difficult one was the colonel called me in. He said, you're the only one around that has a top secret classification. Actually, it was one level above top secret. And we have a project up on the Caspian coast. I can't tell you anything more about it, but he had a whole list of machinery and everything. I want this much of these things. And this number of people, and I want you to be up there tomorrow. I said, well, that's a day and a half trying to get equipment up there. And he said, do it. Well, it turned out it was a super secret facility, the first over-the-horizon radar, and it was aimed into Russia at a place called Semipalatinsk, which was one of their missile sites that they were experimenting with. I said, I'm the only one that has that level of clearance, but I don't know that type of construction. He said, well, you better learn it. We went ahead and we got that thing finished. The engineering company that built the balloons put in all of the electronic equipment, and they put this big envelope over the top of it. We had worked all day and into the next night, and finally everything was all set. They signed off and accepted it. We, the company, the 30 of us supervisors, drove down the hill at dawn, and all of the natives, they're on their knees and they're bowing and going back and forth. I said, what are they doing? Finally, we stopped, and one of my foremen said, let me tell you what they're saying. They're saying that only the Americans could do something like this, because only God can build a mosque overnight, and you have done it. They brought fruit and all sorts of foods and everything to the little cottage that we were in, all because we had built a mosque overnight.
Oh, wow.